Hello and welcome back to another exciting episode of Anime Tour Bus. This is a podcast, an episode of a podcast where we hang out and we talk with you, listener, kind of, you sit there silently, about animes that we watch. And listener, we're at another season's end. Another comes and goes, and you're still here. I have no idea why, but you're with us and we like it. And who are we? Well, this is the episode you decided to, okay, but like I would suggest not this one. It's literally the end of the season. What are you even doing? I'm Eric. I am the non-expert in this exploration, this magic school bus of the anime world. And who's that sitting next to me? Well, that's you, listener. We're on this bus. And if you look outside, there's like Jujutsu Kaisen, and then there's like Cowboy Bebop, and then there's like the Pokemons, and then there's the weird walrus who is lawless. And then directing your attention away from that, back to her, glaring with like fiery eyes, and she's floating off the ground weirdly. It's because this intro is too long. It's Metzger. Hey, Metzger, what's up?
Actually, you know, it's the end of a season, so it's kind of at the end of my shift sort of moment. I usually would be glaring at you, mad at how long the intro is, but today I'm just sipping a margarita, just feeling that vibe.
I had a margarita yesterday. Hey, listener, if the audio sounds a bit different, especially from me, it's because I just bought a house today, like at noon. Well, if you're listening to this, it's not like today.
Hey, today, listener, we're going to test out Anchor's new video podcast feature as Eric records his brand new empty house along with its address and plays it for everyone to see.
If you want to send me anime butt plugs, send them to Metzger first so she can QC them, and only send the best.
I became quality control for butt plugs very quickly.
Yeah, I actually wanted you to be able to put that on your resume, so that's why I gave you that.
Okay, I dig with that. I vibe.
So we've been watching Komi Can't Communicate, and we've also been watching Spy X Family, two animes that I frankly super enjoy. And for me, the non-expert in this, it's very difficult for me to like get into animes. I have very specific sets of like animes. It's kind of hit or miss for me, and it's not even like, you know, like, ooh,
he only it's not even divided anime by genre and so or genre so much. Like he's saying, it's like he'll love one slice of life, hate another.
Yeah.
Love one shonen, hate another.
Yep.
We should watch Laid Back Camp.
Listen, I'm just here along this adventure with the listener, so I will do as I am told.
We can't watch Laid Back Camp. It doesn't follow the rules.
So with that, let's talk about what happened this episode. Well, so we missed last week. Sorry about that, listener.
Yeah, we are very sorry. We are going to get back to our weekly. We promise. We just have been going through a lot lately.
So, listener, let's go ahead and start with Komi. So, Komi Can't Communicate is the first one that we've watched. It's second season of.
Yeah, second season. Damn it, Layla. Go hang out with Will. You didn't have to turn it off, just down a little bit. Okay. Well, try and make this fast so Will can watch his stuff. Komi-san, so the last episode we watched was the Valentine's Day episode, right? Komi gives Tadano the best of her Valentine's Day chocolate. She does kind of downgrade it, though, and say, these are just friend chocolates. Don't get caught up over it. Don't make a big deal. They're friend chocolates.
And then we're kind of left with that as kind of something to hang on for a bit. We have some fun adventures with friends, and we get to see like kind of the outcomes of that interaction of like, oh, White Day is coming up, which they have for those of you listeners who are not Japanese, that is not Caucasian Celebration Day.
Oh, I never once thought of it like that.
Yep.
I never thought that White Day would be a celebration of Caucasian people. Maybe it's because I didn't think
Somebody.
it needed to be celebrated.
I don't either. However, I know people who do. I think that it needs to be. Anyways, so instead, White Day is a day where, oh, I received chocolates from the girls or whatever. It is my turn to reciprocate and to give back. And in doing so, it can potentially express everything from like, oh, I'm thanks, or like, we're just friends, or even potentially, if it's candy, a romantic suggestion.
Nothing about body lotion, though. That's not in the rules.
There's no body lotion thing. However, there's very clear candy rules.
Very clear. So there's a fun little build-up in which everyone from the previous episode is reciprocating their gifts. My favorite is where our buff boy gives Komi a book of muscle poses.
I have one of those books.
Yes.
And if you fall madly in, if you fall madly in love with me, listener, I will give you it.
Tadano kind of pulls a Komi and procrastinates. He knows that he should give Komi her gift, but instead he invites the dudes out for dinner. My treat.
I think he was trying to go for Comey and then got nervous. You know how like sometimes when you throw, you can put some stank on it. I've talked about that before.
Oh, but the release.
So on the release, he curved it and decided maybe not Comey.
Yeah. Either way, he puts it off. The next day, he gets all sorts of big dressed up, puts on a blazer, some khakis, and he goes to visit Komi. And I have to say that I actually think that the build up to this joke and the delivery and payoff of this joke made the whole season worth it.
Absolutely.
This is my favorite gag of the whole season, from Tadano getting all way too dressed up, and then is his name Shosuke? I don't remember what his name is. Komi-san's little brother is the one that answers the recording. It's like, hello. He's like, and then the mom comes out and she death grips him and drags him inside.
And
And then
then
Komi's dad comes in with
the dad
the tea,
interaction.
sets the tea on the table, and then, like a boss, takes a big ass
Drinks it.
drag.
I love Comey's reaction and like pushing her dad out and stuff. Like it is the funniest thing of her, and then the turn and like identify all the problems immediately and then sprinting around. Like I feel
Love
those
the
things is very funny.
struggle of Komi using her entire weight to push her dad out, and them having a completely silent conversation of just grunts.
I thought it was quite wonderful, and we got to see like all these characters that we've had build-ups with, relationships with, finally come together and meet Tadano. And like each of them gets their individual payoffs. Like you see the brother in like his like, I can talk just fine, but I'm just quiet, like naturally. And then you see like the mom and her chipperness and the dad and his silence. I think
Oh,
it
I
was
love the
very
dad.
good
I also
of
love how
bringing everything together.
how fucking buff the dad is for, like, this man is nothing but right angles.
And honestly, goals.
Yeah, no. Perfect dad bod.
And so, long story short, Tadano and Komi have, like, kind of an awkward, like, teenage, I'm interested in you kind of interaction that ends with Tadano giving her a hand cream of some kind, a lotion that smells good. And Komi also thinks that it smells good, which is good. Because, like, sometimes dude noses fucking suck. And,
I don't think it's there's usually dude noses fucking suck. I just think that the sense of smell is a very personal, catered experience. And if you don't know what someone likes, there are a lot of scents in this world.
And three.
I mean, you cannot get me anything that is sweet. So if it has the word vanilla or some sort of baked good in it, do not get it for me. Because the sweetness of it will make me feel physically ill. I like
Really? That's very interesting.
Yes. So, like, if you go to a shop and you get something that has, specifically if it has vanilla in the name. Like, I can have notes of vanilla, but if vanilla is the forefront of the smell, it is going to be overpowering. It is going to be sickeningly sweet, and it will make me feel nauseated. So, like, at Bath & Body Works, like, all the cupcake scents.
Yeah.
Anything with, like, the word chocolate in it, any sort of cake or pie or things like that, no go. I'm a big fan of clean scent. I like kind of the soap smell, like a very nice... like a
ocean
clean
breeze, tropical waves.
I like a nice wood or earthy smell.
I was about to say I love sandalwood, like that type of smell, or
sandalwood,
like, you know,
teak wood, a mahogany, any of the woods,
like a bourbon smell. I've also gotten into
the bourbon. It gets back to that sweet category for me. It gets a little too sweet for me, depending on what it's mixed with, what its other notes are. I'm a big fan of a coffee scent. I'm a big fan of fruit. I like citrus fruits, apples, and then as we start to get towards the melons, they get too sweet again. I can't do sweet.
You want that acidic. Listener, us talking about smells is probably not great for you. This is an audio format. We're talking about like a sight thing. This is a smell thing.
It's good that we can't, because if we could, I would have made myself gag like 3 or 4 times already just talking about the various smells that I can't tolerate.
You know, they talked about doing smell-o-vision at one point, but small audio.
I don't want the listener to be able to smell me.
Listener, you can smell me all you want. Get your nose right up in here. Come here. So we get a lotion that she likes the smell of, and we also get one single subtle piece of candy.
Which
I actually think is super classy.
She freaks the fuck out about it. And he freaks the fuck out about it. It's like, okay, well, I'm gonna go now.
It is the clearest I'm interested in you thing that has happened in the entire show.
Which kind of makes the next episode a bit of a bummer for me, to where it's a whole lot, like, such a good gag. Well, I guess that's not true. I did completely just forget the entire lead up of the last episode. They meet a new character.
What kind of eraser do you use?
I actually just ordered some new erasers.
What kind are they? They're the kind that go on the end of the pencil, a little extra pizzazz?
No, so I've got the retractable ones.
Oh, man.
It's like a whole fucking piece of plastic, and like you just kind of like, it's like a razor blade, but an eraser.
I used to go for the giant block ones, like the real the brick ones. You could make a house out of those erasers.
Oh,
Not a
yeah.
good house, but that's because I make a lot of mistakes. So we have an eraser tournament. I can't remember which happens first, where we meet the new character or we have the eraser tournament.
We meet the new character who can't say no to people and can't ask for help, and that ends exactly the way
Ah,
that you think
yes.
it is.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a cute thing. And now, like, Comey has, like, another friend. And only 70, what, eight more to go? 73, something like that.
77.
Okay.
No, 73. I don't remember.
I think
I
it's
forgot.
73.
Regardless, they need to be cleaning up the classroom. I don't know if you know this or not, but in Japan, the students clean their classroom.
Garbage.
Like, the janitors in Japanese schools are more just like maintenance men. They're not janitors, janitors. Like, the children are responsible for cleaning up and maintaining their own environment because it teaches them to be respectful of such. It's
I
an
mean, I support that.
it is a principle that I wish our country would adopt because being respectful of public spaces is not something we're very good at.
One time I bullied a kid. One time, okay,
Wasn't expecting this.
I had started working for Metzger,
Oh
with
yeah.
Metzger. And
For Metzger.
I had started working for Metzger. Metzger has always been an authority figure in my life. Even to this day, she's low key a little bit my boss.
We take pride in that.
That being said, I had started working for Metzger, and part of my job included mopping and sweeping. And I hadn't done really that much of either of those things before working for Metzger. So that being said,
Which
I
that's
was in.
really sad, isn't that?
Yeah, I
Because
know. It's
you didn't
very
start working for me until you were 18.
just turned. Yep.
Yeah.
So that being said, I was still in school at the time. And was working after school, and I had a moment in the hallway, like I maybe been working for you for like a month or two, and had come to appreciate the amount of work and effort that it takes to clean a place. And so I'm in AP physics class, and I like we had this break, all that, and I stepped out to get a drink, and I'm leaving, getting a drink, and there's this guy. And he's like one of those skinny skater boy, see you later boy kind of guys. And he like does a thing in his throat and then fucking hawks a loogie onto the floor
I would
inside of
finish
the
shit out
school.
of this kid.
So I literally in the hallway like was like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And then I made him go back into the bathroom. Get paper towels and clean it the fuck up in front of me.
See, you
And
said bullying was your pretense for this, and I think you did that just for shock value because what you actually
yeah.
did was hold someone accountable for their actions.
Well, so here's where it became kind of a bully thing.
Oh, okay, well, we're not done yet.
Yeah. So one of the things that has been made known to me over the years, whether that's in like theater where I can project my voice and things like that, or my neighbors where I'm not trying to project my voice, but instead they are still able to hear me, is that I am loud.
You are loud as fuck, dude.
So that being said, the entire AP physics class heard me. The entire like biology class heard me. Literally like 60, 70 people heard me just fucking tear into this guy. And then like people came out in the hall, see what was going on. And then they just see me, a fucking senior, lording over the sophomore as he cleans the floor in front of me.
I still don't think it's bullying. I 100% that it believe that if you don't have enough sense to find, short of you choking to death, if you don't have the capability to find a trash can to dispose of your own, I don't even know the word, biohazardous compound or some bullshit.
Hey, that's fine. Yeah, that's probably good.
Then you deserve to have someone shout at you to make you clean it up, because this is a public space and your rights as the individual do not supersede the rights of the whole. And that means that that no one else should have to clean up your insides.
It was just ridiculous. I couldn't even, it was one of those things like you would see a cartoon character do. I couldn't believe that it just happened. And our reflex just, yelled at him. And anyways, so, yeah, I'm fully on board with this, clean your space stuff. I think that there's obviously a limit. We don't want kids, working 3 hour, 4, 5, 7 hour shifts cleaning shit.
Clean up after yourself. You clean up your classroom. You clean up your desk. You pick up your chair. You sweep and mop your own floor. You take out your own trash.
I mean, I support all of that.
It's not like paint the walls and replace the floors. It's very common sense, just cleaning up after and respecting the space that you inhabit.
Little kid with one of those popcorn sealing machines,
and I don't
gotta clean the space.
I don't think it starts until middle junior or middle school or something like that. I don't remember their grade levels off the top of my head, but this is something that we're not making kindergartners clean the classroom. We're probably making kindergartners put their things away, an appropriate chore for an appropriate age. But it does start very early. Learning to respect your space and respecting the people around you is very prevalent in that culture, where the culture of the individual lives in America. And we could go all night debating the pros and cons of either.
And we would still never get to an eraser war. So I want to go ahead and just hit that eraser war super hard. I feel like I would do super well at the eraser war. I feel like I could fuck somebody up in my eraser.
Like I would kick your ass at it just because it's you.
I feel like I'm gotten, because I do my axe throwing stuff, and erasers are basically just.
I still kicked your ass at darts.
Well, that was before I did the axe.
No, we played darts after the axe.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we did. Goth night. Uh-huh.
That was recent. Oh, man. Yeah, actually, Metzger, I would give you fair chances against me. Fitty-fitty.
I think that if I played certain people, I would suck at it. But I think if it was you, I'd stomp your ass.
Just the sheer confidence.
I think that's just us. I think that's just if you go back.
If you check all the tapes, just all of them.
At very least, I'd get you in the taint.
Oh, the fucking pirate thing. Just there's no reason for that. But then people are just of course Metzger would make the better pirate.
I mean, the time that I literally shot your character through the taint, got a headshot in COD.
Oh, fuck that. Yeah, and that was a game that I had, mastered.
You technically won that match still when it was said, and I got one kill, and it was you.
Through the tape, through the head, clips. Oh, God. Can't believe that counted as a headshot. That was the most insult to injury piece of shit.
The game's yeah, you're pretty good, but fuck you, man.
All right, well, they have a big eraser war, and Cummy wins.
It gets totally out of hand. They're betting, there's a loser's bracket, there's third table, everyone's breaking out secret techniques. What is his name? Kato? Why can I not remember our big buff boy's name? I like that he is able, he is so nervous. He's so nervous and so scared, and he very quickly knocks Betty Racer out of the narcissist's hand, like, just instantly.
I love the narcissist. He's so perfect of a character.
You identify with the narcissist.
We have this, like, fun little tournament thing, and it ends, and we get a scene of Comey standing by herself and kind of dreading the fact that it is the year's end. With our first season, we got to see, you know, the start and the entirety of the first semester. And then with our second, you know, season, we got the second semester. And there's this moment where Tadano comes in and he kind of reviews with her and us, like, all the fun things that they've done together, their connections that they've made. And he openly says, she says, I'm looking forward to another year with you.
I'm lonely. She says, I'm feeling lonely. It's only been for about the past 2 weeks, but I'm scared that we won't be in the classroom together next year.
And they'll always, Tadano's very reassuring. He goes through everything and says, you know, we've made a friendship. And you have made many friendships that are going to stay with you. We will, no matter what, be friends together and have wonderful adventures, even if we aren't in the same class. However, we get this moment where their romance comes back up again. And the line, we're kind of stuck, it kind of rings through in a way that, like, you remember when we did Nagatoro? I think that was the undertext of Nagatoro, the hidden, you know, between the lines kind of piece is, like, no matter what, we're kind of stuck. And perhaps that's just part of the manga, part of the format. There's always got to be something to come back to. But I found it weirdly refreshing that, like, they openly stated that, like, hey, this thing between us, we're stuck in a weird position here. And I actually find that more reassuring of their relationship going forward than if that hadn't been explicitly said. Hey, listener, let's just take a minute real quick to talk about the fact that you can interact with us. You can find us on our website at miyunweebu.wordpress.com. You can find us on Instagram at AnimeTourBus. And you can also find us on Twitter at Anime_Bus. Interact with us. Have fun things with us. I swear to God, if you do it, I will say your fucking name on the show.
Please, bet you won't.
Call you out. And or if you don't, like, want me to, just like, you can put that in the comment and just kind of say what you want. Maybe, like, ooh, I like my ex family is pretty good, or so, whatever. Like, whatever you want to say.
We should make a Patreon, and people can subscribe and get postcards from us every month.
I would love that.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it later. But first, let's talk about Spy X Family.
Hey, have you ever?
Oh my god!
Have you
ever regretted literally anything? Did it involve Eric?
Have you ever almost fucking drowned?
No, because kind of.
I have almost drowned.
I kind of did, but it was nothing. Like, I was never in really, like, I managed to take care of this before I got into real danger, but I was in a very, I mean, I have attempted to kill myself many a time.
I mean, same. But this one, like, a very attractive lifeguard saved me, like, in that fucking movie. No, it's not the Goonies. It's the,
Baywatch.
It's that one stupid one with the kids, and, like, the girl gives them mouth-to-mouth. It's the one where they're through the baseball, and there's the dog on the other side. Sandlot. Like, in the Sandlot movie. It's like in the movie Sandlot, where the very attractive girl, like, pulled me out. She didn't give me mouth to mouth, but that being said, I was, like, maybe 9, like, too old to need to be saved, I feel, but also, like, I was gonna fucking die.
Too old to be saved from drowning.
I was gonna die, like, if we're honest.
So, sorry, to draw us back into our actual shit that we're fucking talking about. Anya is failing. F's all the way around. What, her math test was best, and it was, like, a 7? I do love that Yor is like, good job, Anya, your math was your best. You still fucking suck, but good job.
2 8s.
It's because of the silencer pistol. I need you guys to know that I did go to the World War I museum recently, and when we got to the guns, I was like, silencer pistol, walk, walk.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that was the thing that happened. I'm not ashamed.
So, I mean, I support it.
Also, one of the volunteers was really impressed / aghast by my existing knowledge and lust for more knowledge of chemical warfare.
Ooh, I got some chemical warfare knowledge. But listen, one of the volunteers was more aghast than impressed by Anya's performance.
Yes! Volunteering. So Lloyd decides that there are many ways to win Estella, other than academics. We can try sports, we can try the arts, we can try the music. Anya sucks at fucking everything, dude. She can't even jump rope. She goes, I'm gonna do my best, now untie me. Last ditch effort, Lloyd says, let's do community service. Let's go to the hospital, let's clean the dressing room, let's serve lunch, you know, let's put the books away in the library. Anya sucks. Fold laundry. At all of it. And I really think that
across the board.
Some of this is just an attention span sort of issue to where, like, you really gotta have the calling of community service to want to fold, you know, hospital laundry.
Yeah. I mean, like, some of her stuff, I was even like, ooh, that looks like it would suck.
And to be fair, if you put me in a library where I was supposed to be sorting the books, I'm probably going to get distracted and start reading the books, because I'm a pluviophile like that.
Good ones? Like, yeah, you try to
stop me. Do you think the hospital's not going to have good books?
They're going to have, like, the Twilight series, you know, they'll have all of them.
Oh my god, shut up.
Maybe they'll have the Dresden Files, you know.
You get far enough back. You get far enough back, you're gonna find, like, books on weird medical disorders.
Or, like, things like, oh, we drilled a hole in this man's head for no reason, the 1800s, and we don't know better.
Yeah, but, I mean, he said he felt good at the time, until we kept drilling. She does overhear, and there's a whole argument to be had about this that I wish we had time for today. About, does Anya want to save the drowning kid because he's drowning and she wants to just save someone who is dying? Or does her telepathy pick up on the fact that someone is drowning and she knows that if she saves him, she might get Estella?
I think that it is 100% her actually, like, wanting to save him.
I think
her
altruistic
self. I think it's her altruistic self, because I think that, and hear me out on this, in the second episode, she can understand penguins. And I know that the penguins aren't speaking English. I don't think her telepathy is an English thing. I think it's an intent and partially, like, emotion thing. And I think she can feel his fear.
She has shown us in the past that she can understand, like, animals. But she has to try a lot harder for that.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, they're
but
not directly
There are definitely moments where she kind of, like, loses her grip on her telepathy, or she maybe, like, her mind wanders and she picks up on thoughts, just because she maybe doesn't have it on lock, so to speak. She doesn't have that locked down.
I think she can feel his fear.
And, you know, a desperate, like, I am dying, please anyone come fucking help me, is probably going to break down whatever resource she has as a first grader.
Yeah. I think she can, I think there's a direct word thing, and I also think that she can, to some degree, understand intent and emotion behind it. I think she felt his fear and need for immediacy. I don't think, given the look on her face, it was about the Stellis.
I think the initial remark was, oh shit, someone's drowning. But I think that, like, pre-secret mission, save the world, Anya would have been like, sucks to be that person. I'm just going to mind my business because that's better for me. Because I have learned that when people figure out that I'm a telepath, that bad shit happens.
I think she wants to be self. I think she wants to be a hero. She dreams of saving the world. She even before she met Lloyd was having like this desire for the show to be the hero
that. She loves the spy cartoon.
Yeah, I think that the appeal of being a hero and the telepathy. I think she felt his fear. I honestly think that it was like an altruistic, mostly motive.
She leads Lloyd like Lassie to the pool where Anya actually jumps in after him. But turns out she can't swim either, or at least not very well, very strong. Also, you know, water physics. And she fails. She almost drowns herself. Lloyd saves them both, but because she played Lassie, she ends up getting Estella. There's a big, long, drawn-out thing to where, like, the rumor mill starts at school. She lets it get to her head. She swiftly gets knocked down. And, like, Damien actually steps up and is kind of like, do you think our school would be so shitty as to let someone buy Estella? No, obviously she earned this, and it's bullshit, and I'm mad that, you know, she got it before me.
I'm mad that it's legit.
Yeah.
That would be me.
But that is one of those moments where it's easier to dismiss it if it's fake, right? With that in mind... Well, actually, like, she wants a dog. We find this dog. It might have telepathy of itself, or at least some form of precognition.
I was thinking more of a precog or like a clairvoyance thing.
The dog is like, everything will be fine. I will be adopted by a loving family.
Yeah, that's exactly what I got from it.
And this dog has the concept of adoption. Either way, the next episode, Eric, if you didn't realize this or not, this is a 24-episode season. But
I did, but we hit a solid halfway point.
Yes, and we're kind of at like a break. I don't think SpyX will return to us until the fall. It's gonna pull a Vonnie Tuff, take a season off, get a breather, and come back with bangers.
That's fine. We'll bang one out in the middle time.
So, episode 12 is Lloyd has to pick up a whole bunch of extra missions. Like, the spies are being caught, they're being found, they're being extricated. Whatever word you want to use. Bye-bye, spies. And, he's having to pick up the extra workload of these people being missing. With that in mind, he is overworking himself to death. And rumors are starting to spread that maybe he's cheating, maybe he's been fired, and he refuses to come home. Like, the neighbors are suspicious. This is not a typical man. This is not a typical household. This is not how things are supposed to work in our world of Westopolis or whatever. Lloyd cannot stand for that. So as tired as he fucking is, he comes home and he goes, next weekend, we are going to the aquarium.
Yeah.
You're gonna like it. We're gonna go to Penguin Club.
And then literally just like, oh, did I hear you're going to the aquarium? Well, actually, there's a secret mission there. And if you don't take it, they'll develop chemicals that will kill, like, hundreds of our people.
Speaking of chemical warfare.
Oh, fucking God. And so we get this long, drawn-out thing where, like, it's in a penguin, and he has to pretend to be a penguin master, which he actually, like, instantly became because, you know, spy and memory skills. And he's, like, able to do the thing while also balancing, like, you know, showing him that he's a good father and all that. And, like, gets her a giant stuffed penguin. That's the short of it. I think that it was a very, I don't know, overall, like a very wholesome episode of him, like, reestablishing balance in his family versus, like, all this extra contracts that he's had to take on.
He does have to play the kindly father. Yura is so gullible. She's like, oh, he's so tired, he must be extra thirsty, as he, yes, like, he knocks out a newbie, assumes his identity, memorizes a roster, becomes the god of the penguins, finds the sick penguin with Anya's help because she can read penguin mind.
Obviously.
And then flash forward to the actual operative from the enemy shows up and gets caught as a fake, is trying to run and tell his comrades. Anya has snuck backstage as well. She is grabbed. I love this. Grabs a hold of his coat to keep him from escaping because Lloyd's having a hard time. Do I hold on to the penguin or do I, you know, go after this guy who might have a lot of very bad enemies? Anya grabs a hold of this guy as he's running away and just happens to see Yor, who is also looking for Anya. She's going, help mama, I'm being kidnapped, as this dude is like, what the fuck are you talking about? Let me go.
Strike mode activated.
Oh my god. I love Yor. Get your hands off my daughter!
And then kicks him into the ceiling.
I don't know. All happy family reconvened. There are still some doubts. The neighbors are kind of like, he must be cheating on you. Why did he bring you to the aquarium to then, like, take the fuck off and leave you here? And, you know, then in comes Lloyd with a giant fucking stuffed penguin being like, oh, I just had to get this penguin for Anya, but you can't just buy it. I had to win it. It took me so long. I'm so dumb with penguin names.
I'm so bad with penguins. Can you believe me?
I mean, I'm just a doctor. I'm not a penguin doctor.
I'm no penguin master. What do I have? Penguin knowledge?
The neighbors buy it, hook, line, and sinker. They now think that he's the most doting, loving, hardworking husband. And that kind of ends it for the season, huh?
Yeah, I think that we return to norm of, you know, this balanced undercover family, no matter what, it seems to, like, return back to a stasis position, very episodic.
I think come October we're getting a dog, and you should just go ahead and loop the bus up around, dude.
All right, well, hey, maybe you're gonna get a dog. I'm clairvoyant. You're gonna get a dog soon. Congratulations, listener. I hope it's a cool one with clairvoyant powers. But if it's not, that's fine, because you can always check out other podcasts that maybe will give you clairvoyant powers, like Science Snacks. And if you get clairvoyant powers from listening to Science Snacks, please, for the love of God, let me know. Please, I need to know for science. But maybe you just want to keep listening to us, because, man, I really appreciate that you listen. And we hope to see you next time here on Anime Tour Bus. But until then,
bye! Bye.
Ha 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 ha!